We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 18, and we'll read today verses 1 to 14. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, reading to verse 14. The passage starts off with the disciples wondering which of them is the greatest in God's kingdom. And we read passages like that, and we think to ourselves, you mean you're there with Jesus? You're seeing all the great things he does. You're hearing his teaching, and that's what you're thinking about is how great you are, and until we realize that they're like we are, that that is the tendency of our own heart, this insatiable desire to be first, to be honored, to give precedent. And we need to hear what Jesus said. He calls forth a little child, and he says, truly, I tell you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what he means is that Christian faith is childlike. It's dependent. It's humble. It's one where we don't present our merits to God, but rather we in complete dependence on his salvation and his grace, we, like little children, we look to him in faith. Now, the Bible is not promoting a childish faith. Christians are to grow in our faith. We're to understand doctrine. We're to be growing in grace. In fact, children are to be doing that, and they can. Children can understand the Bible. Not childish, but childlike in humility and dependence. And much of this passage, then, is about the Lord's concern for children, for, and in particular, believing children. In verse 6, he says, these little ones who believe in me. And he argues that so precious are believing covenant children to the Lord that it is a woeful thing to lead them astray. You think of how many forces in our society today particularly want to lead children astray. And here we see how it angers the Lord. And he says there will be temptations, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And it's in this passage that Jesus speaks metaphorically. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Jesus is not calling for self-mutilation. He's calling for an attitude so different from the one that's typical for us, for we're very sin tolerant. We don't think that sin's a big deal. Jesus says, no, it's a huge deal. In part, in particular, in fact, because of the influence it has on others. I think of Asaph in Psalm 73, where he's having a pity party and he's bitter towards God and he's speaking out against God. And he says, my foot had almost slipped. But he then contemplated the effect of that kind of speech on young believers and he repented. And we should have that same attitude. We should not allow ourselves to wander into sinful thinking and speaking, but we should be particularly careful that we would not be the cause of offense and of doubt to vulnerable little believers. Now, very interestingly, one question is asked frequently is, does the Bible teach guardian angels? And the answer has to be, in light of verse 10, it seems that it does. Jesus says, speaking of children, I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What does it mean that they're angels? It's not perfectly clear, but I do think the idea of guardian angels is the best explanation of it. Well, the passage concludes with the Lord talking about the Father in heaven's redemptive desire for covenant children. What a comfort for some of us who have Christian children who've gone astray as adults. We read here, this is yet another passage where Jesus says, if the shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them's lost, he leaves the 99, he goes gets the one that's lost. And he says, this is particularly my Father's will for believing children should they stray from the faith. Well, let's give ear to the reading and to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. Beginning at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives such a child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.